reading to you from 1 Peter, the first chapter and the third verse. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, it changed my whole life. I sure didn't want to be a preacher, but boy, am I glad that I told him I would. No, I never will set the world on fire. But I got one thing to tell you. I'm not ashamed of Jesus, because he took this old drunk out of the skid row and put his feet in a solid rock. That's why I love Jesus. Listen, be with you for half an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians and the first chapter with the 18th verse. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligent of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demanded miraculous signs, and Greeks looked for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who God hath called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. You know, friends, I've labeled this thing education myth. That's right, education myth. According to the universities, colleges, and seminaries, we are getting smarter all the time. Well, if you'll notice, our president is great. He was a scholar. He was this and that. Well, I don't know of anybody in the world that is dumber and making wisdom than he is. You know, I tell you, friends, I keep hearing this every day. You got to educate them. Well, I believe in education, but I'm telling you right now, let's suppose that everybody had a college degree or a doctor's degree. Who would put the roofs on? Who would make the houses? All these things. Who'd do the auto mechanical work? Who'd be the doctors? Who'd be the nurses? Well, friends, The Apostle Paul didn't see it that way. He said, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher? Hasn't God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" You see, folks, the cults fall in this category, always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, and on and on and on. Now, they accuse Peter and John of being ignorant and unlearned men. But the one thing they couldn't do, they could not deny that these men had been with Jesus. And we must admit, Peter did some very stupid things. However, when God wanted a true man of God to bring the message after the day of Pentecost, he called on old foot-in-the-mouth preacher Peter. Hey, at times I've been a foot-in-the-mouth preacher, and it really hurts when God has to set us down a notch or two, and don't think he don't set preachers down a notch or two. Oh, yeah, he does. Approximately 20 years ago, I and Tom Baird and his wife went to Burlington, North Carolina, where Ann's pastor was stepping down after 50 years in that church. Here was a man, get this, with a third grade education, who started a little church in a converted warehouse. Now, there stands a beautiful brick church with a membership of approximately 2,000. That day, that dear pastor received telegrams from the President of the United States, governors, senators, congressmen, and the president of one of the largest textile mills in Burlington. Of course, you know that's where all the material was made. He said, quote, "A man came to our town 50 years ago and started a small church in a converted building. This man has done more for making our city a better place to live than anyone else. We want to commend you." Yes, third grade education. And I laughed till I thought I would die. One of the deacons got up and he said, "You know, oh, we're going to hate to see our pastor go, but he feels that the Lord wants him to go out and do some evangelism." Yes, he did. And then he said, "You know, folks, now I'm doing something that's really, it wasn't scripted. I feel that we should take a special offering for our dear pastor. Did you know that they took in $10,000 from that group of people who loved that dear old preacher?" You see, he wasn't special. He just was called. You see, beloved, there's a problem today. We have a lot of men in the pulpits and on radio and TV who are not even called to preach. They don't even know what a call is. And they really shouldn't be preaching. They should be digging ditches. But, oh, don't get me wrong, I sure believe you should get all the education and training that you can, but depend on God's Holy Spirit to direct us. I was preaching in Dr. White's old church in Virginia one time. And during the invitation, a young man about 25 years old came forward and he was weeping like a baby. I said, "Son, what's the problem?" He said, "Well, I'll have to tell you the truth." He said, "You know that great big house on the hill up there when you come into town?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's a beautiful home, isn't it?" "Oh, sure." He said, "I own that home." And he said, "I work 7 days a week so I can make the payments on that home. Oh, we live comfortable. We live good. But today God said, you got to give it up. You got to come follow me." And so today I'm surrendering my life to be an evangelist for Jesus. The last time I heard, he was preaching up a storm. Friends, listen, honest, I want you to know, God's not unfair. But if you're going to follow him, you're going to have to take up your cross daily and follow him. A lot of people say, well, you know, I go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I go to prayer meeting, and I read my Bible on some occasions. You mean God wants more? Oh, beloved, God wants much more than that. That's just the minimum. Oh, it's good to do that. Don't get me wrong. You should do that. But, oh, friends, Christ is looking for men and women will stand up and say, I know where I'm going. Did you know what I did the other day? I was sitting in my office, and all of a sudden the Lord laid this young man on my heart who has done a lot of work on my car. He's a good mechanic, but he's got to have a open heart surgery, and he can't have it because his teeth are bad. He don't have the money to fix his teeth, and he could die. I called him and I said, Timmy, this is Cecil Moe. Oh, how are you, Mr. Moe? I said, Timmy, if you were to die today, where would you go? And there was a very uncomfortable silence. Well, I don't rightly know. He said, you know, I don't go to church anymore. I used to go. I said, that's not what I'm talking about, son. Going to church is not going to get you into heaven. You must be born again. According to the scripture, ye must be born again. Now, you're born once with a physical birth, or you wouldn't be here today or wouldn't be listening. But that's not enough. You must be born of the Spirit. And Jesus told that to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was not a bad man. He wasn't a drunkard. He wasn't a harlot. He wasn't nothing. He was a good man. He was a member of the Sanhedrin court. He had all these good things. But he didn't know how to get to heaven. Now, he followed the Jewish religion. But see, the Jewish religion can't get you into heaven. My religion can't get you into heaven. You must come in God's way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Well, we had a man in our church who I thought so much of. He was such a dear man. He said, Cecil, you know, Tom is not telling you the truth. I said, what? He said, he's not telling you the truth. Well, in what respect? Well, he tells you you can't lose your salvation. And I say, you can. He said, you can be sure of that. Well, next Sunday morning, I was so troubled, because I was just a baby Christian, didn't know hardly anything about the Bible. But next Sunday morning, Brother Tom preached on God's Holy Spirit. Why, he said, the seminaries have the greatest preachers in the world, but if you really, really want to know something, you ask God's Holy Spirit, and he will teach us truth. I went home as a young Christian and started asking God's Holy Spirit to straighten out the problem. God revealed that truth, and I've never doubted salvation again. I've never doubted that you could lose. He said you could lose it, and I say you can't. The Bible backs it up. Well, you know, years and years ago when I was very poor, had a family, and I was associate pastor of a church in Bellingham, Washington. Well, I got a job driving a mission truck in the Bellingham mission. Guess what I got? $80 a month. Guess what my rent was? $80 a month. You'll say, well, that don't make sense, Cecil. How'd you survive? Well, the mission said, well, we have lots of food here, and we'll help you with your food. I said, okay. Well, they gave me an old beat-up truck that the Salvation Army wouldn't have taken on a gift. And the next day I come in there, and the director of the mission said, I've got a helper for you. And in walked a Lummi Island Indian, probably the ugliest Indian ever put on this earth. Looked like someone cracked him in the head with a ball bat. Anyway, he had spent all of his young teenage life in reform school, and there he lost his arm in an accident, and then he spent 7 or 8 years in a state prison. And he hated God, He hated preachers. And he said, don't talk to me about your God. But if you know me, you know I can't do that. If I can't talk about God, I'm in bad shape. So I started witnessing to him, and he told me, knock it off. One of these days I'll punch you right in the nose. I said, well, do what you got to do. But you know, I started loving that old Indian. I felt so sorry for him. He was an alcoholic, a drug addict. He never said in his life, he never heard his mama or his daddy ever tell him that they loved him. And I said, well, how'd you get on starting drinking? He said, well, I was an altar boy in a Catholic church. And he said, those priests drink the best wine there is. So I started stealing their wine. He said, that's how I got thrown in reform school. Well, I witnessed to him, and I had witnessed to him, and he told me never to invite me to a church. But one time I forgot, and I did. I invited him. I was to show, our pastor was out of town, so I was supposed to have the evening service, and we had a missionary film, a real nice missionary film, and I asked Joe to come, and he did. And after the film was shown, I gave an invitation. And pretty soon, down this aisle, Joe Hoskin came, tears streaming down his face. He put that little stub arm around my neck, and he said, Dad, if I can't beat him, I guess I got to join him. I want to accept Jesus. Oh, friends, you will never know what a change was in old Joe Hoskin's life. People at cops in town says, how come Joe isn't? He used to get thrown in jail about once a month for drunk fighting. Used to beat up on every cop in our town. Beat up everybody up at the rescue mission, all but the director and me. But oh, his change, he changed. Him and I went all to churches all over the country sharing our testimonies. Well, one day, Joe was going up outside of a house, on a steps outside of a house, and he tripped, and his little stub arm couldn't catch the railing, and he fell and killed himself. And I remembered the funeral. Oh, Joe, if we had to have been poor, I'd never got to meet you. I'd never got to come to the rescue mission. You see, friends, sometimes these things come upon us, and we think we're being punished, but we weren't. God was leading our lives so that I could meet Joe Hoskin. Yes, God takes the foolish things of the world to confuse the wise. I remember one time Tom Baird, we invited him to come down to our church in Riverside to preach a revival. And him and I was out visiting one day, and we visited his house. This lady said she was a Catholic and she didn't want to go to our church. Well, Tom wouldn't give up. He just kept her. So I stuck my foot on the screen door so she couldn't close the door. And he shared Jesus with her. A few weeks later, found out that they were hungry. They had no food. Her husband was a terrible alcoholic. The lady in our church told me that they needed food. And the Catholic Church hadn't come out and give it to them yet. So my wife and I went and bought a box of groceries and some candy for the little girls. And I knocked on the door, and she saw me. She said, I thought I told you I was not interested in your church. I said, ma'am, this hasn't got anything to do with my church. It has to do with me and my wife. We've been poor, and we've been without our groceries. We got children. And she took those groceries, and she apologized. About a week later, she asked Mrs. Farmer to invite me and my wife over to see her. So we did. And we went over there and talked to her. She said, I wished I had the faith that you and your wife, I says, have. And I said, well, the faith we have is in Jesus. I said, he changed our lives completely. She said, oh, I wished I knew I was going to heaven. And that's when I told her, I said, you go in the bedroom, turn off a light, get down on your knees after we leave, and you ask Jesus where you're going to spend eternity. And if you're lost, which I knew she was, you ask him to come in your heart and save her. And that's exactly what she did. Then I was privileged to be able to introduce her alcoholic husband to the Lord. You see, friends, sometimes we have to put our money where our mouth is. You know what I mean? Oh, a tight-fisted Christian won't be much of a soul winner. I'll guarantee you that. Well, John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I have chose you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last." Well, I just got pretty well, I wasn't completely well from my lung tumor. I've been laid up for 3 months. And our pastor called me one time and said, "Would you and Gene go visit this little Indian family?" He said, "No one has been able to go out." I said, "Well, sure, we'll go out." And after he hung up, about 15 minutes later, my temperature was 103, and I did not feel like going over there to visit those people. I was so sick. And I told my wife, I said, "Honey, get on the phone and call this family and tell them we'll come later." And then it was so real. Have your wife read to you the 15th chapter of John. So I laid on the Davenport, and my wife took the Bible and read the 15th chapter of John, and this was the scripture. "You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last." I said, "Call those people and tell them we'll be there." We went over to that inn, and see, they tried to tell people they were Christians, but they just didn't have no fruit at all. That night, my wife and I had the privilege of leading that Indian and his wife to Christ. Well, see, the Bible said God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. What did Paul say? Where is that wise man? Where is that scholar? Where is that philosopher? Hasn't God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Friend, you can be the most educated person in the world and be an idiot, like most of our people are in the government. You say, are you mad at them? No, I'm just telling you. They're taking our country right down into a slop hole. Well, we need to pray. We need to pray God will get a hold of those people before it's too late. Listen, God needs every one of his children to share the gospel, whether you're educated, uneducated, rich, poor, fat, skinny. It doesn't make any difference. He's looking for you. Can he count on you today to start praying that God will help you be a soul winner for Jesus? You say, "Cecil, listen, I don't even know if I'm going to heaven or not. But would you like to, though?" You say, you got it tugging at the heart? Well, of course you do. Now, here's what you do. If you feel it tugging at your heart and you would like to ask Jesus into your heart, would you bow your head with me right now? We call this the sinner's prayer, and here's how it goes. Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner, and Lord, I'm repenting, turning my back on the old way of life, and Lord, I'm opening my heart and inviting you in as my Lord and Savior, Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534? I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. Oh, friends, I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Maybe tomorrow will be too late. As God speaks to your heart, you respond. And listen, you say, "I don't understand what you're talking about, Cecil. I'm confused." Get on the phone and call me at 303-471-8534. I am concerned where you go when you die. I'm waiting for your call.
Thank you. since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. Oh, I'll shout.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I thank you, friends, for listening. Oh, my dear friends, you know, from my house to your house, from my heart to your heart, I want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas and a real nice Happy New Year. I hope he gives you souls for your hire. That's what makes God happy. Oh, yes, he loves to see his children out witnessing for Jesus. Well, you pray for my wife and I. We've got 6 services coming up in the prison this Sunday and next Sunday. And pray that God will give us souls for hire. And he'll give us our good health so we can help ministries around the world. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you. Real, real good.